Hey, 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 it's Genevieve, a.k.a. Miss Fab 617.
And it's your girl, Crystal, a.k.a. The Crystal Lens.
We're coming to you from our new show called
Boston Come Through. We'll be bringing you the latest and greatest things happening in and around Boston. We'll be talking what? Black-owned businesses,
hey,
social events, what? And the Black experience.
Okay.
How's that sound, Genevieve?
I love it.
Dig it.
Tune in every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Boston Free Radio.
Boston, come through. Come listen.
Hey, hey, hey.
Let's crack-a-lackin' Boston and beyond.
Yep, we're back. It's your girl, Genevieve Angelique.
And your girl, Crystal, a.k.a. The Crystal Lens.
Yes. And today is like a brand new day. We've never done this before.
Hey.
Never, ever. We are pre-recording.
We are.
It's a different look. It's a different studio.
Different aesthetic.
Right.
You know, same girls, different location.
I'm feeling super bright right now because these lights are bright.
We look popping, though. That's all that matters.
I know.
It's but, okay. The people listening aren't going to know what we look like. So there's
listening. That. If you're watching, hello, hello, hello. It is us. We're back. It's Monday, so we're a little early. But
yeah, but it's technically Wednesday. Okay, yeah. It's Wednesday.
But we can recap our week.
Mm-hmm.
Because it felt like I posted a picture the other day from last Tuesday, but in my mind, it was like 2-3 weeks ago. It was like, dang, a lot happened from last Tuesday.
Yeah, so much has happened.
Right. I switched it up.
So you want me to go first?
Yeah, and I, you know, because I saw you and I was like, you know, I saw your video and that.
Yeah, so this past weekend on Saturday, I did a recording for the Dance with Janet challenge or Dance with Janet contest, I think it is, with these three dancers, Mina, Asia, and TJ. You can check out the full video on my Instagram at The Crystal Lens. But yeah, it was really dope. Just they were dancing to like an old school Janet song and Janet Jackson's looking for... It was in here. It was right here where we're sitting. Yeah, so they, Janet Jackson is looking for some new dancers for some upcoming, some upcoming projects. So
it's like the first time in like decades.
Forever,
right?
And forever, ever.
Yeah, she's like, I got to get with the program.
Right, right. So yeah, I did a little video for them for their submission and it came out really good. Yeah. I finagled it in like an hour. So
y'all ladies were popping. I saw it. I watched it. I was highly entertained and they were really good.
Yeah, they were amazing. So shout out to them. And then also too, I was doing some more filming Friday, not Saturday, but Friday and Sunday at the I&I Rose Garden, which is a cannabis yoga studio. And she did a 420 weekend, kind of like extravaganza, but it's not like your typical 420 where it's like, oh, the smoke gets, you know, whatever, whatever. She did cooking classes, how to use like cannabis and, you know, cooking oils and stuff like that in your food. She did a self-care Saturday. And she also did a growing session of like learning how to grow like actual like marijuana plant and how to take care of it and also like the medicinal uses for it. But yeah, shout out to Kijana. She's amazing. She's really, really amazing. And Chauvinet, who is my right hand production lady.
I was gonna say, like,
she's my literally like, yeah, Chauvinet production assistant, just ride or die homie. Came through and helped with the filming. So that was really awesome too. And just to also see that there is, you know, this woman of color who kind of created her own lane to really try and destigmatize like marijuana. And it's like widespread use, I guess. You know what I mean? Like right now, I think, you know, people are profiting off of it. And, you know, I got feelings about that, especially the folks who are sitting in jails and prisons because of it. But she's definitely trying to do something really positive with it, especially as, you know, a Black woman. So shout out to her. And then the last thing I did was last Thursday, I did the Dear Little workshop for the Black Student Union at Suffolk University. So shout out to them. Yeah, it was really awesome. I just did it for their e-board. And, you know, we'll probably be doing it for the entire Black Student Union, like the actual general members and the Caribbean Student Network in the coming school year. So there was that. Yeah. Oh, and wait, was that last week? I can't remember. It's fine. We're moving on.
I don't know.
There's somebody that's just like you were saying, though. I'm like, I can't remember like what is part of what week and how many weeks ago that was. Right. But it's OK. That's the end of my week.
We'll talk about the two other things that we did, but someone actually was like, you be everywhere. And I was like, no, I don't. And then I was posting it. So I was like, dang, I was here.
Yeah,
was here.
You are everywhere.
Yeah.
Even more than me.
It doesn't feel, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I don't know. I don't do anything.
I mean, every time I tell you, like, yeah, you know, I gotta go do this. I'm like, okay, gotta do the thing.
Well, I did cover an event this weekend, and you guys know I'm on my event coverage. It's like a brand new lane. Like, I don't think people do this.
I dig
like
it.
An events blogger, so
right?
I blog about events, so you can pay me to come out to your event.
Hello.
And I will cover it, meaning I will come in, I will observe, I will take pictures, and I will write up about it.
Yep.
I have one going up tomorrow. But I covered Boston Glow, which is a career and empowerment conference. But I covered it for Sheena Collier. I don't know if you heard her from the Collier Connection.
Sure haven't, but inform the squad.
Sheena is a super connector. I've known her, like, we've run in different, some of the same circles. Mm-hmm. I think we're part of, like, a women's group together. But if you're in Boston and you're, like, out here networking, she's somebody you should have heard of.
You should know.
If you have not, I don't think you're on your job.
Oops.
But she is what you call a super connector. So her thing is like knowing how to connect people and stay in contact. And she did this amazing workshop for these young women at the conference. And I'm sitting there like, I need to take notes. Like, you know, I learned that like there are apps to schedule text messages. I had no idea that's a thing. And
yeah, I knew they were for like mass text messages, but this is different when
you
were talking about.
You can schedule just an individual text. Like if I like, and she was giving examples, like if she'll schedule a text, like, mm-hmm. you know, she's like, I go through my like Facebook friends list and see like who I haven't connected with in a while.
Oh.
And like, she'll reach out, you know, just trying to stay up to date. Like,
I like
what
that
people are doing. Yeah. So it's like the personal, but it's also like the networking part. Like,
yeah.
You know, cause she also, people send her jobs, people send her all types of opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's good to know who's looking for what,
oh
but
gosh.
She'll like, if we're
yes.
talking on the phone right now, she'll, and you're like, oh, like let's meet. And you're like, well, I won't know until Monday. She's like, I'm on my phone, like scheduling the text for Monday.
Oh wow.
So like, I don't have to remember. I'm like, oh my God. That's
imagine
genius.
A world
yeah,
in which you could do. Cause right now, let me check my cellular device. I'm doing good. I have 41 unread text messages, which is like that's really good. Normally I'm in the like 60 plus range.
Yeah. No,
but yeah, that. But that's part of my problem too, is like, because for me, I'm always like, okay, I don't want to respond to this right this second.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because it may take, you know, an extra step.
Right.
I mean, may need to go on my computer or whatever. So I don't necessarily respond to things like right then and there, but then
right.
I forget because they get pushed down by something that's like I can respond to right in this second. So sorry to anyone out there who
Terrible.
Has texted me and I haven't responded. I promise I'm trying to do better.
It's not
I promise.
On purpose.
It's not. I'm really trying to do better. It's like one thing at a time. Like we were talking about, I think it was last week or the week before, and I was talking to my old high school about like, I use my calendar app like crazy, and I'm like trying to figure out how to do the same thing with my text messages so I stay on top of things.
Yeah, that might be an option. I just used it today for the first time. I was
okay.
like, this is amazing.
Tell us about your experience.
Oh, it hasn't gone out yet, but it's scheduled to go out 2 days from now because I'm trying to, you know, we're trying mm-hmm. to finagle some stuff together. And, you know, a lot of times, like, it's hard when, you know, you have, like, your schedule is, like, in motion all the time.
All the time.
You know what I mean?
24 hours.
It was such a great idea that, like, I'm talking to someone today, and I know we want to try to connect on Thursday, but
mm-hmm.
scheduling a reminder text for Wednesday
right.
for them to get back to me about, like, what time.
Like, hey, friends.
Right. And I'm like, this is amazing because now I don't have to keep in mind because there's just so
right.
many. You can write it down as what you want. If the calendar app works for you, but I'm like, I got my actual
physical calendar. So what this app called?
It's called Scheduled.
Scheduled. Okay.
That's it.
It's go on my little appity app store.
It's a little red one with a little
scheduled.
Clock on it, but it got the little text. Like, it's a clock.
Oh, this sounds like
message.
It needs to be in my range
yeah,
right now.
Sounds like thanks, Sheena. Because
thanks, Sheena.
Right. It never occurred to me. So that was like super dope. And she gave other tips too that I was like, I know that, but I don't do it. You know, like when you want to invite an event, invite like 3 people that you haven't seen that because no one has time
yeah.
to sit here and individually meet with people.
True.
But that was cool. That was Saturday. But on Friday we went to the Trap and Paint.
Okay. Millie Rock.
Courtesy, thank you, Secret Boston.
Thanks, Secret Boston.
Right, covering it for them. And then also to Diane Vivian Productions.
Yes.
Put it on. It was like their first ever Trap and Paint, and it's essentially what the title is.
Yep.
You are listening to trap music and you are painting, and it was pretty cool.
I loved it.
Yeah, it was different from other paint nights that I've been to, because yeah. paint nights, they usually tell you, like, take the blue and, like,
and then do your background.
Right, you know, mix the white here. You yeah, wanna create yeah, yeah.
Make a little squiggle here.
Yeah, so it was a little different. So it was already pre-drawn.
Yeah,
I was
with like, pencil.
I don't know who the person who had to draw on all of these.
Right.
Like, you know, kudos to them.
Yeah.
But you know, they had some examples was kind of like up to your own interpretation.
Cool.
So, and you can imagine even with a regular paint night, even when they tell you to use certain colors, people still have variations of, it's great to see personalities come out mm-hmm. of the paintings. But this one was really like completely like abstract, like definitely, we should have brought our examples.
I know, yeah. We should have brought them.
Mine's in the car, but I can't run off and go get it, but.
That's fine. But you know, for the listeners, you know, yeah. you can head over to our Instagrams because we yeah, both posted we ours, post. You know, at The Crystal Lens and Lego Stays _ Paris Nights. But yeah. yeah, we posted our shoe.
It was, yeah, it was pretty, yeah, it was a shoe.
It was a high heel
shoe.
Could have been a red bottom. I did a gold bottom.
Yeah, I did a black. I just stuck to black.
Yeah, I was like, everybody's doing a red bottom. I don't want to be like the crowd, you know.
And then the books, I titled my book. I was like, the things I'm manifesting this year.
Yes.
I was like, love, prosperity, favor.
I love it. So, mine was brains and beauty.
That was cute. So that was dope. I don't know if the next one has dates yet, but you mm-hmm. can follow, I think, her Instagram, and we'll put it in the show description. But it's, I think it's DVP Events with 2 S at the end.
Yeah.
And then on Facebook, it's Diane Vivian Productions. She's apparently, I guess she's an event planner, and this is, she's done other events. She's done it for yeah. a while, but they were all like private events. So they were,
right.
this was like her first event that was like open to the public.
Yeah, she was so sweet too. She was so incredibly sweet.
And
so.
It was, yeah, it was packed. It was hosted by Miss Hot
oh, yeah.
Sauce. So you know Miss
okay.
Hot Sauce kept it going. DJ Drew Nice. And
yep.
then we also had, there were vendors there too. So
yeah.
I killed that banana pudding.
Was it good?
I don't know the name of the, I'm so sorry. I can't remember the name of the.
We'll put it in the show descriptions. Oh, if you guys are, we're going to find it. But we'll put it in the show description if we find it.
That banana pudding, sis. We're going to have to tag her or something. Like, got a little shout out like 10 minutes in.
Right.
It was life. I was like, I want
it. It looked good, girl.
It was real good.
I don't eat banana, know, but, you know,
know.
It looked
okay.
good.
You're missing out. But it's cool. More banana pudding for me. and then we were on Kitchen Table Talk podcast.
Okay.
It's like it's more of a show, but it's also a podcast format.
Yeah, it's so. Like a, they're more like video.
Yeah.
Yeah, video podcast on
it's
Facebook.
It's exactly what you think it is. We're sitting at a kitchen table.
Mm-hmm.
The host.
Shooting the shits.
Yeah, Bianca from the Curvy Coalition. And then you have Martin from It's All Gravy Baby. And
yeah.
they're a husband and wife duo. And they're doing their, like, Bianca's front and center.
Yep.
And she does what she does best, which is the talking and the engaging. And Martin's in the kitchen hooking it up. Because if
chopping
y'all
it
don't
up.
Know, Martin be going in.
Okay, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
He didn't realize I was prophesying to him. He think I was joking when I was like, I can't see the seasoning. I see it. It's All Gravy. It's going to have his face on it.
Yep.
With, like, a chef hat. I see it.
They're
going
to profit
now.
Off of that. Yep.
Yeah. But... yeah, it was dope. I was, hungry.
I was more than hungry, okay? And that food was popping. That chicken was good. The veggies were amazing. The little
right.
sauce he had on the side. The only thing is, like, I was watching back the video, and I was like, you could tell I wanted to take up that bone and put that bone in my mouth.
Because you want
to
be cute.
You
want
to be cute because you're on camera.
Right.
You know, you
want to
be dainty
no.
and whatnot. And, like, I was like.
But it's chicken on the bone, which is
right.
you're supposed to take the bone, and then you're supposed to go in.
No, but as soon as we stopped, okay, and we stopped recording, all three of us grabbed
right.
that chicken bone, and we was like.
Like, seconds, please.
Right. Also, that
right.
that was really, really good.
It was really, really good.
Yeah.
And the conversation was good, too.
Yeah, it was a dope conversation.
I haven't watched it back, but you said we're really funny.
Yo, we are hilarious. Like, not to toot our own horns, but I think, like, also the combination of, like, me, you, and Bianca together, I think we also gel very well. And it was just, like, a natural, like, vibation, mm-hmm. new word, of, like, conversation mm-hmm. and just Bianca's facial expressions, like, our facial expressions. Right. I think we're just very, like, expressive people, but. But yeah, guys, definitely check that out because I was laughing and like normally you watch stuff back. You're like, okay, but you know,
right.
I thought it was really funny.
I'm gonna watch it. I believe you though. Sometimes
yeah.
I don't realize I'm funny.
We real funny. We real funny.
We are funny.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Okay.
And how many minutes in are we at this point?
I don't know, girl.
I don't know. Well, we'll keep going.
Yes.
We talked about it on Kitchen Table Talk. Mm-hmm. But we don't talk about it again. Because I could forever. I was even thinking this might be a whole blog post.
Okay.
Chris was like,
go ahead, girl.
Do not feel as passionate about this as I do.
I would like you to begin the conversation.
Okay. Well.
And I will jump in.
It started with my thoughts, really, but it became a Facebook post that I put up. I don't know if it was Wednesday or Thursday, but mm-hmm. it basically said, do not trust a man that refers to women as females. Mm-hmm. And I've had this conversation with men. I know women who use the word female. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with the word itself. It's how it's used
in context as well.
Right. It's an adjective, guys. So yeah. If you are describing a human being, like a baby, what is the sex of the baby? It is female. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. But if you are referring to a group of women, wherever you are, and you're like, those females over there,
right.
To me, that makes absolutely no sense. Like,
yeah.
And I find that the people, most people, and really men, because I feel like women do say like females, but mm-hmm. even then I still side eye them. But I find that the men who I've heard use it, mm-hmm. It's usually used in a derogatory manner,
right?
In the sense that it's always like, you know, females are always, and then
blah
it's
blah
like,
blah.
Insert negative,
right?
You know, beliefs, whatever.
Yeah,
stereotype or whatever generalization.
I think for me, so I've been preaching this good preach since, like, I don't know, high school, like, for real. And, like, it's just interesting because, like, I think so many people, like, are coming around to it now. And I'm like, hi, I've been, like, out here screaming. But, right. Yeah, because, like, even when I used to present at different conferences around the country and stuff like that, we would have these conversations, especially, like, in social justice work and, mm-hmm. you know, and what does it mean, you know, the difference between sex and gender, which we did talk about on Kitchen Table Talk as well. And just also the fact that those are two different things and people, like, lose their minds when, like, anyone says and they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah, like, you can have a female dog, a female giraffe, right. A female elephant, right? And that doesn't necessarily make it like a woman. Like, I'm a woman because I identify as a woman, not because right. of my organs. And a lot of people, this is still, like I said, same thing, it's gonna go over a lot of people's heads, they're gonna like feel types of way, but words mean things and definitions also mean things as well. And like, if you look up the definition, female is referring to your bodily organs, your DNA, what you were born with, and then gender is an identity, right? So you identify as whatever you would like to identify as. It is yours. It's, you know, identity and gender is a spectrum, and va-voom, you know. But I also have very strong feelings about it as well. I let you ride with it on Kitchen Table Talk because I was like, yes, fight the good fight, girl. Fight the good. I was just really proud. I was like, yeah, fight the good fight.
No, I check people all the time.
I like, love that. I love that because like, oh, it gets tiring. It gets so tiring.
You might as well say the word bitch because that's really what you want to say. When you're trying to be polite with it.
Right.
So you say female, but when you say, right. when you say that as a man, I honestly hear bitch, like,
yeah,
those, you know, females, they always what bitches, that's really what you want
to
say.
Yeah, like, and I think also too, like, in context, like, I totally agree with you, and there are some people who say, and it's like, okay, like,
yeah,
it doesn't like itch me the wrong way because right. of the context and stuff like
and
that.
You might be misinformed too.
You might be misinformed.
People also, some people do say it because it's people just say it.
Yeah, and it's what was like used for such a long time to refer to everything, right? Female, woman, they're interchangeable, like, whatever, it's the same thing. And
they're not
but we know better now, and I think that's like a big thing too of like, we evolve, you know, language grows, language evolves. I hate to compare certain things to like race, but it's also like the same thing with like what Black people were referred to. It's like,
you couldn't call us Black in the 50s.
No, like, you had like
Afro-American.
Yeah. you know, you had the N-word for a long time, you know what I mean? So things evolve, and also people reclaim words and things like that. Right. So
that's not a word I want to reclaim.
We know better.
You know, I'm repping for the females, like,
right. Well, I mean, reclaiming in a sense of like using it in its intended term, okay. In its intended,
like,
sense. Yeah, yeah. I should
like,
say
female
that.
What, like, when I hear a man say these female what,
right?
A dog, a bird, a bug,
an ant,
right? Like, female what? It's
right.
an adjective. So that's usually my gripe with it, because I'm just like, y'all are just using it to be disrespectful. And
yeah,
someone had commented under the post, and they were like, it's insulting to be basically referred to just basically as like what your sexual organs are.
Yeah, I mean, it's belittling, you know, female bodied people down to their organs.
Yeah.
And that's like, that's literally what you're doing.
And if you are a grown man, if you consider yourself a grown man, and I hear you talk about these females out here, you better believe I'm giving you the ultimate side eye. You have already been X'd off of any list. Like, I'm gonna be like, what man am I, like,
I don't need you in my space. That's all. And it's one thing if you're using it and you're misinformed and you're ready to learn and have a conversation. It's another thing if you are closed-minded and closed off to it. Because I think it's the year of our Lord, 2018. No, I'm saying is that I don't have time. Right. That's what I mean. That's exactly what I mean, is that I don't have the time. And I don't think it's the same thing, like I was saying, with like people of color, where it's like we shouldn't have to be out here explaining to non-people of color like black things or like what it means to be Latinx. And you know what I mean? Yeah. Just like, I don't have time. Like, point blank, period. And you know, yeah, that's where I'm at in life. So
Power to the women, people.
Yeah, and also, like, it doesn't hurt to ask someone what they would like to be referred to as. Just do it in do it in a respectful way, because I know people can cross the line and, like,
what are you?
Right, like, can you not? Like,
yeah. And that, I mean, that comes with, I guess, gender as well as even people who look racially ambiguous.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you could, like, there's ways to ask questions without being offensive, you know? For example, like, you know, what do you identify as? You know what I mean? Like, oh, that's an easy question. Right. Or can I ask you about your ethnic background?
Right.
Okay, and the answer is yes or no to the person who is being asked, because they don't have to answer.
Right.
Right? Like, so also don't be offended.
They're not obligated.
So don't be offended if someone is like, nah, bruh, sis, cause, like, I'm good.
Yeah, so that's the thing. I think people feel entitled to certain things.
But yeah,
that could be a whole another conversation.
Yeah, but we wanted to touch upon that just a little doop.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because it's importante. And folks be out here, you know, just reckless. Just reckless.
All types reckless. I could go into stories, but I won't.
Right. What else we got for the people this week?
I feel like we can get into a quick relationship talk.
Oh. What are we going to talk about? I feel like we talk about relationships every week.
There's forever stuff to talk about.
Oh, Lord.
But there was something that came out on social media.
Mm-hmm.
It was like one of those, like, someone posted a comment and it went viral. Like, a story that happened to them, like, on Twitter or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's basically of this dude, this man. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. This man went on a date with this woman, had a great date.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they went out to eat, they had a meal, which he paid for.
Oh, yeah. And then this is good. This is good.
At the end of the meal, she asked him she wanted to get two takeout meals, I believe, for her children. And asked him to pay for it.
Mm.
And he declined, and he said that their whatever ended right there. And
to take out meals for whom?
Her children.
Okay.
I guess I didn't mention that.
Yep.
For her children who were at home, I guess, or whatever. And he said no.
How old are these kids? They stay at home by themselves.
They didn't say all of that.
Okay, cool. Just questions.
She just said she wanted two meals for her kids. And
I was like, is that real?
He said no. And then he wanted to know, was he wrong for that?
He wasn't. No.
No, but you read these comments I was just shocked. Like,
I bet
y'all really think that, like, you know. And and I heard it from men and women.
Yeah, from both sides.
Actually, the only one comment, it was from a man, actually one of my friends list. And yeah, and I was like, okay, I see what he was saying. He said the man was wrong, mm-hmm. but she was wrong too. He said, as a gentleman, he should have just paid for it.
Skirt, skirt.
He was like, you shouldn't deny any kids a meal. Like,
first of all,
no. Let me say,
sorry.
I understand what he was saying. I think it's a character thing.
Okay.
I feel like it's a character thing.
I will hold my tongue.
It's a character thing. When he said it, I was like, as a man saying it, I was like, okay, I can see that. Being a gentleman, it does speak to your character. If a man was willing to do that. He said, I wouldn't date her after that. Like, I'd be done, because now I feel like she's probably just trying to use me.
Right.
But because of the fact that she did say it was for her children, that she would pay for it. Irregardless of, like, should you be on a date, sis, if you can't. Or, like, you know, we don't know her motive. Maybe she was like, it's a free meal and I like him, and then, but I need to feed my kids too. Or it could have been like,
okay,
I just want him to pay for the food. I mean, I have my thoughts too. I'm a little bit more like, nah, bruh. But as a man, if that was like my brother or like my dad or a man I care about, I would be like, she's trifling, but for him, I was like, it paints you in a good light, like character-wise, is what I'm saying. Nothing has to do with her. You can have your thoughts about her and what is right, what's wrong, but for the fact that someone would be like able to overcome that and be look beyond, like, this woman might be a gold digger,
right.
But the fact that maybe she really does have some hungry children at home, and I'll just take the L
totally
for whatever reason and just pay for the meal. That, I mean, it's gonna end our whatever we got going on, because right. you know. And we could speak to that too, but I know where you're coming from.
Yeah, so like my feelings was more like, okay, so you're going out on this date. I have a lot of questions. A, was your intention to always ask him to buy food for your kids? Also, two, if you're going out on a date and your kids are hungry at home.
Were they really hungry though?
Yeah, like A, were they really hungry? Also, two, like... And this is me trying to be as non-judgmental as possible as someone without actual biological kids running around. You know what I mean? I don't have any kids of my own.
Right.
But also, like, is it the best decision to go out on this date if you have kids at home who you need to go feed as well? Also, how old are these kids? They staying home with somebody? Because that was also another question of mine.
That is true. Because how old are... I think irregardless of how old the children are.
Yeah.
Or if they're actually hungry, like maybe you shouldn't have been on a date. I don't know.
Yeah, that was just my thing.
It speaks to motive. It speaks to
morals.
Like, right. Haitian people have a saying that I've been repeating to you for like a couple of weeks. Sumun. Sumun is mean like you're just like, it literally translates to like you're on people, but it means like you're too comfortable.
Right.
Like too quickly.
Right.
And that's one of those things like you were mad comfortable enough to like sit here and this man who just paid for the meal took you out on his date or whatever. And then turn around and like purchase ask him to purchase.
Yeah.
Not like you offered and you were. Because to me, I'm like, you got maybe you're broke. Maybe you having money issues. Maybe whatever. But why would you want somebody you're just dating to know that?
Mm-hmm.
And why would you want, like, why would you just be so quick to think, oh, just because it's, you know, it's your kids that he should pay for? And the only reason I'm saying that is because a lot of the comments, that's what they were. And they were from women. They were like, if you wasn't going to do that, then you shouldn't be dating a woman with kids.
This is date, like, number one. Like, relax. It's not like they were together for, like, a year or something. And they calling him daddy. And he's saying, like, you know what I mean? Like, relax.
Someone was like, where the daddy at, though? Like, where he at? Why I got to pay for the
That's meal? What I'm saying. Like, relax. Like, y'all, if this is how y'all are after date one, like, imagine
during.
We didn't even get to the after part. Right. Like, we halfway through.
He ain't met the kids yet.
He ain't even eat dessert yet. He don't even know, like, her last name. Like, what the kid's name? Do he even know the kid's name?
Right.
Like.
It was just too much. And if a lot of people really think, like, there's nothing wrong with what she did on his end. And I feel like it's kind of like one of those things, like, it's more so it doesn't matter the motive of the other person, but character-wise, what does that say about you? If he paid for it, I feel like character-wise, he looks good.
Right.
Or it's a good look on him. But in regards to her and what her motive was, it's like, regardless of the motive, it's not a good look. It's not cute. It's not attractive. And all these women out here who are barking like, that's what a man's supposed to do. It's
yes, maybe. A, if those are your kids or if those are your stepkids or if you have already.
Or there's an established relationship.
Exactly. You've established a relationship with this person. I would never, never in my black old life, okay, ask someone if I had kids to, like, especially I'm just meeting you, like, and I'm expecting that. Like, I can't comprehend that.
Yeah, now the relationship is not equal. This person is going to think, like,
oh, I'm expected to take care of her kids, and I don't even know if I like you.
Girl, you know, basically, all the comments that I read, I was like, so sis, what y'all really saying is you're looking for help.
Right.
That's all you were saying. You're not looking for, you looking for help for your kids. But I feel like that speaks to the mentality of a lot of people. And maybe, let me not say that, because that's going to come out real judgmental.
Oh, well,
I'm going to pull back. But, like, it just speaks to a lot of people's mentalities. And people wonder, I think, sometimes, like, if you go in thinking that, that's like me, like, yo, can you pay for my phone bill?
Like, screw,
can you put gas in my car?
do I ride in your car? Like, I mean, granted, I do, but
right. Yeah. Like, if I didn't have kids, it'd be the equivalent of that.
Yeah,
like, it would be like, yo, I got this phone bill. You want to pay?
Right, at least slide that to you, right? Like, quick.
Oh, you know what? My tank is really low. Like, I came to this date.
Right.
You know, I'm pretty much on E, and I don't have enough money to get home. Can you put some gas in my tank, please?
You got an Uber account?
Right. Can you? I had to get a ride here.
Right.
Like, it's just too much. Like,
that's my bigger thing of like. Yes, I know, like, this whole idea of, like, when we go out on dates, like, we expect the guy to pay and, like, this and that. However, if I'm going out on a date with you, I'm going to make sure that I got money to cover me. I got money to cover my food. I got money to cover my way to get home. I got gas in my car. Because that's the thing is, like, also, you expecting that if you go there broke, empty-handed, and he wasn't trying to pay you with
the
deuces. He's like, bye.
What are you gonna do?
What are you really gonna do?
Been all types of messed up.
It would have been a whole different situation
because she done got 3 meals out of him. Like, that's crazy,
right?
And it speaks a lot to, like, sometimes where, like, people when you hear men say, like, women be gold diggers.
Yeah, and it's really, I hate
there's
that
some truth. I mean,
there, but no, I'm saying because there's truth like to it, but it's not everyone. And also, you, this is what we also mean when we're going back to word female, but like generalizing people as well. And like,
some of y'all not making us look good.
Yeah, but also, like, don't, like, and this goes for women too, generalizing men and just any group of people. Like, when you generalize people, like, that's when we run into issues. You know what I mean? Like, that's when we have a lot of different, I don't even know what the word is, but just like, don't generalize. Long story short, don't generalize people. That's where a lot of stereotypes come from. That's what I was looking for. That's where a lot of stereotypes come from. And, you know, it's just not a good look. You could say, I had an experience where this happened, all right? But you can't be out here saying, oh, well, all women, all men, this and that. Because do you know all 7 billion of the people on this planet? No? All right, cool. Then you can't say all. Cool.
Okay.
Mic drop.
No, you right. I know I'm guilty, though. Let me stop. Oop. You know, but you got to remember, it's bigger. It's people you dated.
Yeah, say exactly. That. And that's why you have to make it an individual thing. We're going to do a little facilitation thing. Whenever I do facilitation work, we say talk from your experiences. We set ground rules in the beginning. It's talk from your experience. Don't talk from anyone else's experience. And don't generalize. So let's do that in life, too.
Well, I think that was a perfect ending.
Ba-boom. I like that. Do you want to run down this events listing before we tell them about this lovely surprise we have for them?
Yeah, we will, because I just realized it won't make sense at the end.
Nope.
So, you know, we got you with the events covered. We have a website coming very soon, guys. Maybe
like
within the next 7 days.
Okay. Or sooner.
Right. So we're getting it on and popping. We're going to have you covered for the summer. You're going to know who, what, when, where, why before. Uh-huh. Okay. And not after. And you cannot say that Boston come through, did not come through and tell y'all.
Don't get it twisted.
Right. So this week, Thursday, April 26th, we have the Black Trust Economic Deliverance. That's 6 to 8 at the Thurma D. Burns Building on Warren Street in Roxbury. That's more about, you know, Ujima. Mm-hmm. You know, collective?
Collective community?
Yeah, basically, we're going to be talking about community, money, philanthropy in the Black community, how we invest our money, how we invest in others, and what that looks like in our community and how we can improve that. Mm-hmm. So that's going down. And it's in Roxbury, so I'm excited that they're actually doing it in the community.
Yes.
That's really, really important. Friday, April 27th, Oompa, Kyle Bent, and Rex Mack, these are all performing artists out of Boston, are going to be performing at the Great Scott in Austin. That's from 10 to 12. Tickets are on sale, but it will likely sell out. So we'll have the link in the bio for the tickets and where you can get that information. So definitely go Oompa.
Woo! I stand for Oompa.
If y'all don't know Oompa, you're missing out.
Get your life in order. I don't know what you're doing if you don't know Oomp. Like,
yeah, she's dope. She's dope, and she's definitely best, like, cream of the cream, Boston.
Hell yeah, and also just out here doing it for, like, authentically doing it for the city in a sense of, like, not just staying in her own lane of, like, music and poetry and stuff like that, but also being an educator and working with our youth as well. Mm. Like, she just occupies, like, on the highway Oompa occupies all four lanes. Right. You know what I mean? Like, she's just out here. And she is doing the speed limit in every single lane and making sure that she is keeping up with all the traffic and getting ahead of you. So, yeah.
Right. Dope. So, that's this Friday, April 27th. And then I had a hard time because I can only pick one event for the day. I try to do, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Sunday. But you know, Mixcloud is hating when you know it's too many characters.
I know these so show descriptions.
To keep it to three, but there was two really good events going on Saturday. But I realized, you know what? I'm always gonna rock with the youth, so I'm gonna go with them every single time.
Okay.
The 26th annual Boston Youth Peace Conference is called "Heard 'Em Say Our History Our Way."
Yes,
they're gonna be talking about social justice. They're gonna be talking about economic housing, like housing. All those things that affect each and every one of us down at the Paramount Theater downtown from 6:30 to 9:30. Tickets are only like $5 in advance.
Okay.
You know, so
yes.
I'm always like, support the youth because they're our future. And if we don't invest in them, you don't believe in a future.
Right. Because you finna die out one day.
Right, right.
Okay.
Somebody got to pick up the torch where you leave it off.
Exactly.
And so I was just like, I gotta shout them out. So
yes.
I'm all about that. So that is Saturday, April 28th, 6:30 to 9:30. Get your tickets in advance. It's $5.
Get your tickets here.
And it's only $7 if you don't get in advance the day of.
So, like, you won't die.
Right. And I might actually be there. Like, I'm thinking of my little 13-year-old cousin.
Yes. Hold it down. You know, I got work. But, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's at 6:30, though. So, unless you got something else going on.
On Thursday?
On Saturday.
Girl, I'm going to be in Palm
Beach
again.
Oh, yeah. Never mind.
Yeah, I'm flying out, y'all. I'll be gone for the weekend.
I'm not going to tell her why. I'm not going to tell y'all why she going to be there. But, you know.
I'm going for a little extravaganza.
I was
going
to say, it's for pleasure. It's not business. Okay.
I might find business while I'm down there.
You right. So that's what we have going on. It's going to be, links are all in the bio. Definitely come out, guys. Definitely come out, Boston, because y'all know how y'all be.
Yes, yes.
We're definitely trying to change the narrative. And that's it. So
we going to tell them what's up next?
Yeah, you do it.
Cool. So we have a awesome pre-recorded segment with the lovely Oompa, who is a dope, like I was saying, rapper, poet, educator, just out here doing it for the community and putting on for folks. So we want to, you know, preface that by saying we love Oompa.
Yeah.
We hope you enjoy it and you ain't gonna see our faces again, so, or hear our voices again, depending on maybe. Depending on how we're feeling. Oh, yeah. I mean, after the interview. Yeah. But, yeah, we're just going to close it out. And, you know, as always, you can, you know, follow us.
Everywhere.
You can follow Boston Come Through, iTunes, Stitcher, Mixcloud. Not SoundCloud. We're not on SoundCloud. Google Play, YouTube, Radio Public. We keep adding places. And I need to figure out, like, what
keeps adding places.
I need to figure out what the order is.
You know.
Yeah. Okay. So, and of course, I'm the Crystal, a.k.a. The Crystal Lens, and you can find me in all forms of things at The Crystal Lens. Of course, as always, the Dear Little Project is still in motion, and, you know, we want to get this out in community, so if you're interested in booking any parts of that, if you need a videographer, if you need a photographer, whatever you need, I got you. If you need a little media production consulting, I got you as well. So, I am for hire, and you could check me out at thecrystallens.com. Who is you?
Cool. I'm Genevieve Angelique. You can find me in a number of places under a number of aliases. On Facebook is Genevieve Angelique, or you can follow my blog page, Lagos Days Paris Nights. On Instagram, it is LagosDays_ParisNights. You will see my little tagline just updated, but
hey.
I am available for all your event coverage needs. So I come out, I write about you, I take photos, I'm a photographer as well. Anything you need. And then I'm on the Twitter streets as Miss Fab, F-A-B 617. Connect with me there as well. And you can always connect with me on my website, www.legostaysparisnights.com.
Hey. Until next time.
We'll check you later.
Yes. Enjoy this segment with Oompa.
Cool. Bye.
Ayo. What up?
And we are back.
We are.
And back.
Hey, we are coming to y'all with a special segment, okay? Because, you know, sometimes we got to finagle our lives and make sure we make room for the folks who we stand for. You feel me? You know what I mean? So some of y'all are part of the Bayhive, right?
some of y'all are part of, you know, Rihanna Navy,
right.
Barty Gang. But then there's the Oomph Squad, okay? Okay,
the Chocolate Factory,
you feel me? And you know, me personally, I like to say that I like to be the treasurer, CEO, just all the things. I love Oompa.
Hello. I don't think you realize. That's an understatement.
This is what she do every time we mention you. Oompa!
Every time I see it, I'm like, yo, I love her so much.
Love us some Oomph. So we are in the building giving y'all a special segment with the lovely Oomph. Oh man. And don't y'all get it twisted. Cool. You already know we play Oompa's music on Boston Come Through. You know, we support all of her events, all the good stuff, and we had to make sure we brought her in.
It's true. Welcome. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Also, I love y'all. I stand for y'all. Heavy.
Hey.
That's awesome.
So Oompa.
Yo.
Tell us about Oompa.
Who is you?
Right. Who is I?
I mean, I know who you is, but I don't want to run down your history.
Word, you feel me?
But I want you to tell the people who you are.
Who is I? Okay. I don't know. I've been trying to figure this out every day, but right now, today, I am, you know, I'm not going to go there. I'm from Roxbury. Just like little hood kid, I don't know, rapper, poet. Educator. I just love people and I love music. And I never know how to answer that question because I feel like I be figuring out something new every day.
Or right.
I think I knew something yesterday and I'm like, well, that was a lie. Maybe you got to figure your life out. So I think I'm going to leave it there. That's who
right.
I am. Yeah.
Now you are, as I know, but the people may not know, but you are like nationally recognized. You are like, you know, charting in the poetry field and world. Tell us about that because I know you got accolades, okay?
Mm-hmm. Word. Now, in 2016, for the first time I did Slam at the end of 2015, and then I made the team for the House Slam in Roxbury, and we went out to compete at the National Poetry Slam, and then we took third that year, and then the following year, the following March came around, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna try to enter this video competition to see if they'll pick me to get a slot at the Women of the World Poetry Slam. And I won the video slam, so yes. I was like, okay, cool, this is cute, I get to go compete. And so like it's like 96 women or people who live their lives as women who beat out at least 12 other women to get there, and nice. You know, we're fighting our way through. I make it to finals. I was laid out. That's my signature. When I'm overwhelmed, I just lay out. I just become overcome with the spirit. And maybe not the spirit, that's disrespectful. But I be laying out, and I made it to final stage, and then I wrote a poem that day because I didn't have enough poems. Mm-hmm. I didn't even have any clothes ready because I wasn't so prepared not to win.
Oh my gosh.
Just like, I'm new to this. There's no way I'm going to beat out all these amazing people,
right.
whatever. And I made it to final stage, so my homegirl, Natalie Ermer, with the help of a bunch of different of my friends, like, just put together clothes on. Just put clothes on my body. And I was like, all right, cool. This is going to go away. Man, made it through the three rounds, and we came out on top.
That's
so
dope.
Yes. Yeah,
amazing.
Thank you. Yes.
Have you gone back to compete?
No. I said last minute that I wanted to go, and by the time I wanted to go, it was too late for me to go, mm-hmm. which I think is a good thing because I'm really mm-hmm. trying to focus on the music and using poetry, like, infusing the right. music with the poetry, but, like, mm-hmm. kind of, like, just staying strong with the music and, like, trying to build on that end of things. So I can easily get caught up in the competitive poetry, but I'm just trying to
right.
keep it cool.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Right.
I dig it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
That's cool.
So tell us a little bit about, you say you also do, you know, you're an educator, mm-hmm. you know, Oompa out here, Oompa love the kids.
.com. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, tell us a little bit about your work with the youth, because I know you do a lot of great work with, you know, young people.
Yeah, I work with young people since I was 14 years old. So, mm-hmm. like, my first job ever was, like, watching younger people. And for a long time, I thought I was going to be opening up a school and be a headmaster, and
what?
I was on that path.
Dopest school.
Yeah. You never know.
I'm still gonna, you know, part of the long term plan is being able to buy back the city and buy back things for folks that look like me. So
Absolutely.
That's in the plan still, but I don't want to run it. I'm all set.
Yeah,
you know, I know a lot of people.
I just want
to
fund it.
I want to fund it, and I got some fierce teachers. You know what I mean?
Right.
And educators. I'm like, I'm gonna let y'all do that. But I was a teacher first. I worked for this nonprofit. And then I was a teacher for 3 years. So nice. I taught English the first year, and then the last year and a half, 2 years, I taught math. And then I just decided I had to go. So right now I work for this program called Mass Leap, which puts on all of the youth poetry slam festivals. Yeah, they're really, really, really dope. Right now they're in the middle of LTAP season, so the statewide poetry competition.
Nice.
So I do a residency through them. I'm always just like, I just love young people, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like I get something every time I get to work for them. So any opportunity that I can take, I will take when it comes to them. So like mentoring or just like showing up one day doing a thing or teaching workshops at middle schools and high schools, you know, different things like that. As long as I can stay involved. Also, they keep us relevant, you know.
That ain't that a truth.
If they don't give us a pass, then we don't have a pass.
Right.
You know,
then we all been canceled.
Right. We all canceled.
I'll collect my things and go home.
Straight up.
Oh man, I love it.
Yeah,
I feel like there's something on your heart, Genevieve.
I wanted to talk more about your music, like how you got into music.
Yeah.
From I know you did spoken word.
Yeah.
Was music always there?
Yeah.
And then like the transition and how you incorporate.
In middle school, I thought I was a battle rapper because of Cassidy. Cassidy had me messed up. Girl. And Babs Bunny, I remember.
Right. Yes.
Yo. And what was his name? Elliot Ness, man.
Oh my gosh.
Yo, they had me thinking I was out here. So
Dylan,
top five famous rappers. Yo, I thought I was a rapper in middle school. So what I would do, like nobody knew I did this, but I would write down the lyrics to Eve songs. I would write down the lyrics to Left Eye songs.
Yes.
I would write down all the women rappers like that I could think of, Charlie Baltimore, you know. I would write all the lyrics down in this notebook. And then I kept like studying them till I like remembered them.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I wanted to write my own, I would change out certain words. It would be the same structure, but it would be like, okay. This is how this works.
So you're like self-teaching.
Yeah, self-teaching. Like I'm just listening and literally studying them in class and whatnot. And my boy, one day I was like, my boy Jordan, who goes by Chaos, he's still rapping now. His name is Chaos. One day I told him, I was like, yo, I got something, because he was a rapper. And he was like, oh, word, this is dope. And so he and I ended up, we started battling people in the cafeteria. So
yes, battles.
With the...
Hey, yeah, hey.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, we was doing that. And then, like, we didn't lose. We had, like, a really good time. I did one of them little talent shows at the Cambridge Y. I thought I was doing something. And then...
I was
out here in the streets.
You was popping,
right?
But I figured that was the end of it, because I went to high school and I'm like, you can't be a rapper in high school. Like, everybody's a rapper and everybody is like,
that's true.
You look at people and you're like,
right.
Like, everybody in Boston's a rapper. And so there was none of they just couldn't carry on for me. But then my best friends introduced me to poetry. Mm-hmm. So I didn't even know it existed. And then I started watching, like everybody else does, Def Jam. Mm-hmm, and then you go to the open mic and then people just talking at you. And you're like, what is this? Oh, this is kind of cool. So I started to write those. I would call them and be like, yo, I think I got something. They're like, that's so good. I look back on it, it's trash. I was like, that's so good. Keep writing. And you know, like, so it went from there. And then I got older. And in my last year of college, I was like, I really missed this. So I realized, like, I had this question recently, and I realized that I never actually stopped writing raps. Mm-hmm. I just never showed anybody. So, like, there's journals from just points in my life where I was like, I'm going to write these bars.
Right.
But there was no reason for me to write them because I wasn't doing anything with them. So my senior year of college, I went on my boy's radio station. I was like, yo, I got this. Same thing, same deal. So I got this rap. He was like, yo, it's nice. And I'm like, oh, you're gassing me. So he did that, and I was like, okay, there's a possibility. You know, then I started doing the open mics in the open mic circuit, and I just kept getting good and constructive feedback. It was like, this one isn't going as hard. Okay, maybe I gotta go back to the drawing board. Oh, this one goes hard. And eventually, again, just like this building of confidence and this like burning passion for me to do it, I just kept finding my way to it until I'm just like, you know, I was just like, this is what I'm gonna do.
Right.
And then here we are.
And then the music.
The actual music.
Yeah.
I was struggling, man. I had these songs that I was doing at every open mic. And then I got my first paid show. I was like, $100. Ooh. And I was mad excited. I was doing like the same three or four songs, half, like they mostly just like, I just slopped them together and then tried to figure it out. And I had X Factor. That was the only one that's mm-hmm. still in the same form now that it was then. So I'm doing those same four songs and I was like, you know, I need to get into a studio, but I don't have the money to get into a studio right now. I can't do it. So Tim Hall from Hipster.
Yes, Tim.
I knew him through poetry. He was like, yo, my friend Cliff Notes and everything. I don't know if it's something, you should meet each other. So he brought Cliff to the Feel It, Speak It. Mm-hmm. And he saw me perform there. And then we like shook hands and like vibed out. And Cliff was on his superstar. Like, let me check out. Like, I felt like it was like some label master just
right,
in there. Like,
right. Like, you know, let me check it out real quick. Let me check this out. See if you worth it.
I was mad nervous. I was like, And then we hit it off immediately. And I kind of just kept it up front with him. I was like, I don't really have much, but I'm gonna give you some heat. Like, yeah. I'm gonna do what I can do. Like, and you know, honestly, like maybe there was like a couple of dollars here, there, like yeah. that when I could give it to them, like $100 here or $50 right. there or whatever. But most of it was just like off the love,
right?
Like, and they gave me the first opportunity to like record music and like have a product. And if it weren't for that product, if it weren't for November 3rd, like. We wouldn't know each other. A lot of these conversations wouldn't be happening.
Right.
So it's all love to Hipster for that. They did that.
I didn't even know that backstory, to be honest. That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
Nobody's ever asked that, so that's interesting.
Yeah. You know.
All the first unboxing come through.
Yeah.
Right? Is November 3rd, is that your first album?
It is. It's the first thing I ever did.
Why is it called November 3rd?
So it's the day I lost my mother in 2009, freshman year of high school. And what the album is supposed to be is about like all the things that happened what led up to it, and then all the explosion after it, the aftermath.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea was just that like you know, grief, you experience grief differently when you're a black, queer, poor woman, etc. Like grief is like that's a different, you experience that differently, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was supposed to chart that process of grieving, but also it was supposed to somehow give my mom a legacy, because as a poor woman, the only legacy she got is bills that she never paid, you know, and the memories I have. Mm-hmm. And so it was about like giving a space to that. But then also being like, you know, my mother wouldn't want me to grieve the rest of my life.
Right.
Mm-hmm. She would want me to, like, think about what it is that I wanted to do and go hard at it.
Right. Yeah.
Best at it. Whatever it is that I choose to do, try to be the best at it.
Absolutely.
And so I think November 3rd was also, like, midway through the album, a declaration that this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I'm gonna, and you know, a year later I quit my job and I've been at it full time for almost a year. So
she about to make me cry. I'm so emotional.
Don't cry, don't do that.
I'm so emotional. You are your mother's legacy though.
I'm trying.
Yeah, you absolutely
are. No, not trying, you are.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. Word, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was a dope lady, man. She, dope little Gemini in North Carolina, you know, Virginia.
Oh my
cuss
gosh.
You out. You know, kind of lady. So
yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm really legit. Like,
yeah, that was actually going to be one of my questions too, because I never knew. I was like, November 3rd. I'm like, what is November 3rd?
Why? Because that's also we mentioned that on the show one
time. I think we actually had a discussion about like, that on the show.
I was like, oh, maybe that's her birthday. Like, it's almost the best day.
Now I'm an Aquarius.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Best sign on the zodiac.
Okay. Okay.
It's close to a Cancer, but.
I'm gonna let y'all battle.
Yeah. Yeah. Nah, I go come for. I'm like, yeah, but Aquarius is the best sign. Oompa is an Aquarius. I'm an Aquarius. Oh man, I love it. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
So what you got going on music wise right now?
Yeah,
I'm writing a new album.
Ew.
I'm having a hard time, so don't am too hard.
Listen, I'm an am because I believe in you. Thank you know what I mean? And I know you gonna drop some fire as you always do.
I'm trying, man. It's so hard because I'm like, I keep listening at November 3rd. Like, what do people like about this damn album?
I got
like,
your girl.
You know?
And she don't like girls. She don't like girls.
I haven't heard it, you know, I know being a creative. I think I saw a post today about it, but like how sometimes we get bogged down because we're trying to like produce what people want.
Yeah.
What we think they want, as opposed to just
letting it go.
Just be.
Yeah.
Be.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, I don't want to write something about this, because then it's like, I already wrote that. And then I'm like, well, people want to hear this. And I'm like, well, I don't really care, but I do care, because I want you to listen to it. I want you to love it more than you love November 3rd, you know? Like, I want to just continue to grow. So it's just mad pressure.
It's pressure from you, though.
Yeah, it's pressure from me.
Yeah. You got to figure out what headspace you're in right now and just kind of go with that. Because, I mean, I feel like as creatives, too, like, everything we produce, like, tells a story about where we are, right? Like, when you told the story about November 3rd, like, everything, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, where are, I think that, at least for me, that's what I'm struggling with right now, too. Yeah. Like, even after.
Part of the journey.
Yeah, like, I'm trying to get back into writing, too, because I used to do, like, you know, poetry and, like, slam poetry.
I knew it.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, and like even like thinking about like when I traveled and did like slam poetry, like I was just like got a high off of that. I'm like, I just, that's something I think is missing, but you know, where am I in this headspace right now, and what can I produce that will like, you know, cater to that? So
for sure.
Yeah, you know, Crystal's Corner, you know, dropping Crystal's gems for Oompa, you know.
is there anything on YouTube?
Maybe. Know, we might slide it y'all way. It might be on the Facebook.
Okay, yeah. Put that on the Facebook. Yeah. Right in the comment section.
Yep. I know there's a video with me and a cast with my arm, you know, and I went up there. I was in Texas. Yep. I'll send y'all the video.
Okay. I'm going to hold you to it, too.
Right. I got you. But, yeah.
No, just create. That's just all.
Yeah.
I'm trying.
I know the struggle, though.
I was supposed to release something in June. I mean, first it was March, then it was April, and then it was June. Ain't none of them deadlines looking on point.
Maybe you don't need a deadline. Maybe you just need a, you know.
Holla.
Hello.
Yeah, you know. That's all.
Word. Yeah. I'm going to listen to that. I'm going to take heed.
Yeah, someone told me the other day that they don't make, like, hard deadlines. And I was like, that's the opposite of what they tell you.
Yeah.
Like, right. Told to
make a deadline. Yeah.
But their reasoning was... what happens is either it motivates you or that deadline just intimidates you. You know what I mean? And I'm the type that I'm intimidated because I'm just like, you know, I know as a creative, like, there are times where, like, you might not have it right now.
You don't have it,
right, but then other times you just, it's like a burst. Yep. Like, you just start, you know?
It's just like money, you know?
Right.
Sometimes you got it. Most of the time.
Facts. Right. Yeah, so maybe that's the problem. You got deadlines, you just put in restrictions.
Just let it go.
You got it,
You know, I'm going to do that. I'm going to think about that.
Yeah, so I'm excited for this this new project.
Thank you, yeah.
Now performing.
Tour.
Yeah, I was just about to go there.
We gonna slide right on in, right?
We right on in
like a newborn. Hello.
Dang.
So what's going on with that?
We're planning. I can't say too much about it right now, but it's a. We'll just call it a niche tour.
Okay.
We invited.
You better be. You better be there.
Just let us know what to wear.
Okay.
Where to be.
Y'all always fly. You just put on the usual. And then we good.
We gonna try. We gonna try.
Selectively fly.
Fly when the camera's on.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I can't even say that's me. I was gonna say that's me too, but I'm like.
Nah, what? I was like, she fly like all effortless.
Right. Oompa stay fly.
Yeah.
You ain't. Hold on. Let me show you in the camera.
Oompa stay. Yeah. Yes, I stand for armpit holes.
So yo, straight up.
I stand for armpit
holes. But you be like, this sweater's lit, though. Like, I'm not going to let a little
no.
Right. We not going to do that.
What? No, it's got ventilation. Character. Yeah, right. It's ventilation, got character, you know, got stories. Heat. Yeah. Right.
Talking hole. Yeah, no, we doing a niche tour. It's I'm going to just call it that. It's a non-traditional avenue to being able to tour. And I'm excited to talk more about that when we release the dates and we release the name and like do all that stuff.
We're gonna have to bring you back on, you know, when you launch we'll get that way we can like dig deep into it, we can get into all the questions.
We're gonna launch it in Boston and we're gonna end up in Boston, so we'll make
sure
that happens.
So we always ask, we've had other artists up here, I always love to ask, like, about the Boston music scene.
Oh, let's get it. What you want to know?
So, I mean, what are your thoughts on the Boston music scene? And, you know, I feel like we kind of, like, go into it from a certain angle of, like, you know, why hasn't Boston popped off like a New York, like a Philly, like a L.A.? You know what I mean? Like, why don't we have our Jay-Z? Why don't we have our Snoop? And what is it about the city? What is it about the culture here that prohibits that? Or what is it? What's happening that's not happening?
It's about to happen. It's about to happen. How I feel about it is like, is this. I think, like, when we think about infrastructure, like, the labels, whatever, they used to exist here. They used to be, like, this, like, crazy competition and music scene here. And then, according to, like I talked to, I just soak up things from when I listen to Dar Adams or, you know, Brandon Bedlam, and I hear them talk because they've been here doing it.
Right.
You know, the labels kind of picked up and left Boston, for a long time. And so we kind of have just been in, like, a dry season because of that. And so it's really dope that, like, platforms take the time out of their lives, like this platform, to create platforms for artists, so I think what it is like, it's the infrastructure, it doesn't exist here in this way, and so what's happening now is all of these, like, other people who want to see a structure exist have, like, put their resources into making it happen. The problem is like, it's like LA and New York have, like, tons of money that kind of funneled back into it, I think. And we don't have that. We just have people who are willing to get up and schedule an interview at 2:30 in the afternoon because they believe in the artist.
Absolutely. You know,
like, we have that here. And so, like, I think on the infrastructure side, that's part of it. And I think a lot of it, too, is, like, I think about, you said Snoop.
Yeah.
I think about, like, Snoop goes back to Long Beach and look at that love. Kendrick goes to Compton, look at that love.
Yep.
Chicago
Chance
with
the
Chance.
Rapper. Yep.
Jay-Z to New York. You know what I mean? And look at the way the people lift them up.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if that's how it's always been for them.
Right.
Like, but what I do know is that that's what keeps them undeniable. And I think the thing that Boston is recognizing about itself is that it has a reputation for not supporting artists.
Yeah.
And I think Boston is recognizing that. But then you think about, like, I don't know, at least the people I surround myself with, if you think about the Brandy Blazes, the Anson Raps, you know, the Luke Bars, the Hipstery, you know, Latrell, all these cats who, like, are reaching sideways and downward and upward to make sure that we all look bigger. You know, I was saying this the other day. I was on a plane and I was thinking about, like, a metaphor for how I feel, and, like, the industry is responding to Boston. And I was thinking about the industry's eyes and the perspective being that of somebody looking out of a plane, and then all of us are the little cars passing by.
Yeah.
So we're like, you can't tell who we are. You can't distinguish us from the next person. But if somehow we, like, are massed together, then that, like, we become the size of a building.
And
you know that that's a school building. You know that's a police building. You don't know which cars are which, but, like, the size of it. Like,
you can make it out.
You can make it out. You know what I mean? And, like, people will start to look at us. People that we want to look at us will start to look at us, and they'll have no choice but to put their ear to the ground
and
in
pay
Boston.
Attention.
And I think we're going to be there because, like I said, like, I get incredible amounts of support, and I try my best to give that same support to, like, all the hip hop artists that I know, to the people who are creatives who aren't hip hop artists but do the showcases or do the that puts hip hop artists on the same stage. You know, like, I try my hardest to do that, and they do the same for me. And I think that, like, instead of, we don't have the ability in Boston to look at fans as a one-way street. We don't have that ability to be like, look, I'm putting it out, you gotta pick it up. And those cats that do that, they're not gonna get far because they're Kanye attitude without Kanye money. You know what I'm saying? So I think the people who are gonna pop with the whole Kanye support, you got a whole, like, religion bait, like, you know, like, dedicated to Kanye. And we're not gonna get anywhere unless we, like, do the, like, unless we see fandom or as community. Like, if we stop calling it fandom or stop considering it that, and think about it as community, as this two-way street of lifting each other up.
Absolutely.
You know, I think we're gonna get there, hands down.
Snaps to that. That was really insightful, a little something we just heard. There. You know, dropping gems here at Boston. Okay, boom shakalaka.
Yo, you kill me. Are you a Cancer for real?
I am.
Okay,
June 28th, EO 1983.
Free's birthday is June 28th.
Okay, that is why. Listen, let me tell y'all about Free real quick. Free is that friend that everybody need. Free is that friend that gonna stand for you, that's gonna get all the angles while you performing.
Yep.
It's like, go best friend, that's my best friend.
Always in the front, if nobody else is, fight the person you don't even know the fight broke out, just like, straight up.
Yeah, shout out to Free. So as we know, you have a lot coming up. Was it the 25th of April? You got stuff coming up on the 27th of April. You just booked, okay?
I'm booked.
So tell the people what you up to, because, you know, Boston come through. We try and slide through ourselves. We trying to finagle our schedules, okay? To show up for Oompa. But let the folks know what you're up to in this big event that's happening.
So April 27th, we're at the Great Scott. I'm really happy about it. I get to headline at the Great Scott.
Yes.
And I also get to do that with Rex Mack and Kyle Bent. And if you don't know those two names, those are two cats that you got to get familiar with if you're talking about Boston hip hop. Who I'm surprised I didn't name earlier. But anyways, they're really dope cats, and I'm really excited about that bill. Particularly excited to sell it out. Like, I think we can sell it out.
I know
we can sell it out. It'll be a big deal if local acts get to sell out a venue that, you know, these, like, bigger names come through. So that's the hope, is that, you know, we sell out the 27th and to get us, you know, hyped and turned up so that we can elevate on the 27th. There's a pre-party on the 25th. It's invite only. And the way that we're doing that is if people DM me or inbox me or get to me proof of purchase of their tickets, then we'll put you on that list. Nice. But we had a cap, so, but you know, you obviously,
we got the VIP. You always want that. Y'all know, okay, this is what happens when you stand for Uber and you like, you know, Presidente at a fan squad.
Right. Presidente.
Yeah.
Y'all kill me. I love it. So, yeah, that's the 25th at a secret location. So.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
We excited. We're still trying to finagle because the 25th is a Wednesday.
I know. Yes.
It's technically tonight if y'all listen live.
Right.
Yeah.
However. We might have to finagle that.
Right. This might be a whole pre-recorded show.
Right.
We're going to figure out a later date.
That'll be dope.
Yeah.
That'll
discussion dope. Dope later. Like,
yeah. We're going to discuss.
Yeah, because I got things. I got some ideas. So.
Ooh.
Yeah. You excited about the 25th?
Oh, my God. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. My band is getting ready. I'm going to practice right after this.
Nice.
My band is getting ready. They're super dope. I've got a couple of little curveballs in there in the show. I'm just excited to show out and just shake my ass a little bit.
Okay. That is what... Listen. Yeah, of course. Okay, okay. Boston Free Radio.
I've been holding back so much.
We ain't got no FCC laws and regulations. Yeah. Okay, we can say all... Listen, the whole spectrum of curse words, we are free to say them. All
right, word, because I'm ready to shake my ass.
Hey! Oh my God, I'm so excited. Yeah, we're going to see if we can come through because, you know, we want to definitely come out and support you for sure, if nothing else.
Boston, and come through.
Hello? Okay.
Gonna come through.
It's in the name.
Right. Right. It only makes sense.
I know, I dig it. Real quick, I know we're like winding down, but you know, last question I think that we try and ask, especially like artists and people who are doing like, you know, entrepreneurship, whatever it is, but what do you say to the young people out there who want to be the next Oompa, who want to, whether they want to be, you know what I mean, who want to, whether it's being an educator, whether it's going into poetry and competing on a national level, whether it's, you know, taking them raps that are in a journal and turning it into something that you can perform on stage, like what do you say to those little, you know, queer, you know, women, femme, whoever they are, like what do you say to these little folks out here?
I say like any game you're gonna be in, and I think you got to study that game. So you got to study the greats, you got to study the people who failed it, you got to figure out the formula, and you got to figure out how you truly fit into it and figure out your identity in it, because I think it's really easy to get lost in anything that you do if you don't know who you are in it, and you're not creating the structure around you. So what I would say is first of all, be patient. Know when it's your time to jump in and when it's your time to study. Because sometimes you can't always be jumping out there. Sometimes you got to really fall back and watch. Because you got to know where you're jumping to. So I think do your best to get ready to jump. And, you know, when you're out there, like, be smart about what you do when you jump. And then know when to step back. I think that's the biggest thing for me, is just knowing when to step in and when to step out and learn some more, step in. And the other thing I'll say is that at least as an artist, there's no path. There's nothing prescriptive. Every day I'm figuring out something new about my career, which is both exciting and frustrating. But it's a beautiful thing to be able to like make your own path. And so like I think it's like just be creative, like in your pursuit too. Like, you know what I mean? Like, because nobody's gonna tell you how to do this A through Z and have it done right. You gotta sidestep the G sometimes and come back. You know, like. You're making your own path, and don't be afraid of that, is what I would say. For sure.
As Crystal would say, that was a whole proverb.
That was a whole proverb. That was a whole ass
proverb.
That's
a whole ass proverb.
Listen,
that's what Crystal would say.
That's going to make it on the quote list.
Right. You were thinking that's
right. Yup. I was like, ooh, that's a quote right there. That's a good quote. Yeah, Oompa made it on the quote list.
I've been waiting all segment long for you to tell me something was a proverb.
Yup, that was it right there.
I've been waiting. I just watched and I'd be like, that's a proverb.
That's it right there.
It was.
Yup, you did it. Not everyone has a proverb. You know what I mean? But that was it right there.
That was.
Listen, we was real quiet. That's why.
Right.
degree.
That's why
I text myself like, did I study the grades? Like, I need to go check myself.
Right. I love that because I feel like that's so applicable to whatever, like, you know, whatever field you're trying to go into. Yeah. Like, study the people before you. Like, I love how you said, you know, study those who failed, and, you know, whatever you can do to just, you know, pay attention when you need to, hop in when it's your time, and bada boom, bada bang.
Right.
Oompa, thank you so much for coming through and doing this lovely little pre-recorded segment with us, for taking time out of your day. You. And, you know, tell the folks where they can find you.
Drop the handles.
All the handles.
Hey. Thank y'all for having me. I appreciate the way y'all flex. You can find me at Oompa Out Loud everything. So that's oompaoutloud.com. Oompa Out Loud on Twitter, IG, maybe... Yeah, any other thing that you could think of.
Just do your Google. Right.
Just oop out loud. That's
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much. Absolutely. Appreciate
it. It's a pleasure.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'll see y'all soon. On Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yes. We gonna finagle it. Right. Wednesday the 25th, be there.
Word.
Then the 27th, buy, you know, only if you got the ticket can you come to the 25th.
Straight.
So be there. Follow Oompa in all the places.
Right.
Boom chakalaka. All right, and we out.
Peace.